I want to one more time welcome everyone here tonight in the precious name of Jesus Christ. I want to appreciate Evangelist Oguchi and his wife again. We appreciate you. We believe that God has brought you our way, and we will never be the same. Evangelist Jonathan, who is meant to share with us on Friday night, came to stay from the beginning till now, every session. And if anything has happened positive in your life, Evangelist, I believe that between now and next year, it will be unbelievable. In the name of Jesus Christ. And Reverend John Dacko, Rehabunki Crusade Ministry International Africa Director for over 40 years. When you talk about faithfulness of service, you are looking at somebody who is still serving even after the master has gone. He's still on duty. Bunky is gone to be with the Lord, but he hasn't left that ministry yet. He's there, setting the stage. All that Daniel Kolenda needs to do is to show up and preach. Doesn't need to know who organized what. The Lord bless you and the Lord reward you. In Jesus' name. The Bonke Crusade 50th anniversary celebration of Bonke's ministry will be holding crusade in Abuja in November to mark the 50th anniversary. It's the second week of 8th of November, and I'm announcing it ahead of time so that everybody can be aware and connect and latch into that kind of grace. Hallelujah. Very, very quickly tonight, I want us to go on a journey. I think this will be the first time that I'll take this kind of journey. I'm speaking on the subject, building strength for the future. Building strength for the future. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 6 to verse 8. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him, and said, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mountain of God. Our objective again is what to do to build spiritual strength. But I want to lay the foundation with the following statements. Number one, great destinations require great preparations. Great destinations. If you are going to leave here, the airport road, and go to Nyanya, you may not pack a bag in Abuja here. And if you are going to leave from here to Makurdi, you may not pack too much. But if you are traveling all the way to Lagos and you are going to stay for a while, it might involve some packing. But if you are going to travel from here to Europe or to America, you don't go casually. Great destinations require great preparations. It is the destination you have in mind that determines the preparation you embark upon. Number two, mega constructions have giant foundations. Mega constructions. If you see any construction that is mega, its foundation is giant. If the construction is to be great, the foundation must be strong. I was speaking to our structural engineer today to give me the details of what went into the earth here in this construction. At a point I was feeling very bad that so much money was being spent into a ground, resources buried that cannot be seen. We had groups of pile foundations, pipes, that went into the earth 8 meters, some places 12 meters. If you know that I am 1 point something meter, then you know what 8 meters mean and 12 meters. To hit the rock in groups, pile foundation everywhere. And by the time we came out of the ground from that earth, there was something they call a basket that was weaved with iron rods. It was a giant basket that I can enter inside and remain inside, filled with concrete. Each of them everywhere. We have a lengthy raft foundation. What do they call this foundation now? That is from this end all the way to that end. All the way. About 270 something meters. It was filled with concrete. If you stand inside, the concrete can bury a person. A few square meters of it, they were measuring the concrete in square meters. A few square meters of it, they charged us $33 million. Then, I said, what is this? All this will be buried inside the ground. That we are talking of 200 and something meters and we haven't even reached, just like this. So I said we should buy our own concrete mix and all the things, batching plant and everything, so that we stop measuring it like that. That reduced the price to some extent. But all that was done, and the earth buried it before this one started coming up. If you want to build a shack, you don't need much foundation. But if the structure of your life and your destiny will be great, will be mega, the foundation must be great. Mega constructions have giant foundations. If the construction is to be great, the foundation must be strong. Third thing to notice in the same line: heavy roots bear mighty trees. Every time a tree is mighty, its root must be heavy. Heavy roots bear mighty trees. If the tree must be big, if it's an Iroko tree, the root must be deep. The root must be strong. It is strong roots that sustain big trees. No tree can be big for nothing. One of the greatest challenges that we have in this world is where people look at you. They don't know where you are coming from. They don't know where you are going. Just met along the journey. It's like somebody traveling from Abuja to Lagos, and someone met you around Ibadan, and he thought your journey started in Ibadan. Never knowing the investments, the sacrifices, and what went in. Moses had a 40-year wilderness preparation before he met Pharaoh for the first time. He met Pharaoh and encountered Pharaoh for the fulfillment of ministry. Jesus had 30-year ministry preparation for a 3.5 years of manifestation. Listen, there are some of us who say we are in ministry now, but God is saying the ministry you are in now is still preparation. When Kenneth Hagin had done about 17 years of ministry, and he went to thank the Lord
For how God had helped him for 17 years, God spoke to him and he said, get ready to enter the first chapter of your ministry.
This is first chapter.
Then what have I been doing?
And God said, you have been preparing.
Please note the following about Ruth.
We just mentioned Ruth now. That heavy roots bear mighty trees.
First, root determines rise. The depth of the root determines the rise of the tree. Second, root determines size. No tree can have rise by accident. No tree can have size by accident. Root determines rise. Root determines size. You can't put an Iroko tree on a mango root. The same way you cannot put the head of an elephant on the neck of a goat. It's collapsed. Root determines rise. Root determines size. Root determines growth. Thirdly, root determines growth. Number four, root determines spread. It determines spread. I am just saying things that we can just see by observing. Root determines spread. Fourthly, root determines reach. One young man said, their ministry, they are about to start branches. So I say, how many is the membership? I think he said 200 or 100 or something. Mention. How many years? 2 years or 3 years? I said, no. You don't branch until the main stem can carry the branches. You know, when those who rear plants, when a tree begins to branch too early, they cut off the branches to allow it to grow. Because if it branches too early, the main tree will get stunted. Both the destiny of the branch and the tree are jeopardized. So there is a level of stature, a level of stature that something will have before it can. So root determines reach. And finally, root determines fruit. You cannot get the fruit of the mango on the root of an orange. Except in their new cross cultivation or whatever they call it. You cannot get the fruit of the apple from the root of a pineapple. There should be no confusion about the root of anything or the root of anybody. Just find the fruit they are bearing. It will just clarify the root. The question is not whether antelope born elephant. The question is, can it burn it? It's not the question whether they did. The question is, can it? Take your seat. We are on a journey. We are far from the end. There are some questions that if you don't ask the right questions, you can't get the right answers. That lizard born crocodile. You don't ask such a question. Is it, did lizard born crocodile? No. Can lizard born crocodile? Nothing. Just ask the right questions. Take your seat. Giant results are the product of giant roots. Every time you see results that are giant, they are products of giant roots. You don't get giant results from dwarf roots. There is a tribe in Africa they call the Pygmies of Congo. You don't go to that place and be looking for the parents of a giant. You won't find them there. In all humility to God, who alone is the lifter and the raiser of people? What is our roots? How did we happen? What is the process that brought us here? Brought us where? The realm of very massive salvation for the lost in mass healing and deliverance crusades. The process of incredible healings and deliverance of the afflicted. Twins born deaf and dumb. Twins born deaf and dumb. I'm sure they have the clip for us. Twins born deaf and dumb were healed the same day in Kaduna Crusade. Born deaf and dumb. I hope this will are ready for me today. You are showing Kelebites now. This one is Evangelist Sunday Obuchi's meeting. Blind boy born blind. If you look at the eyes, it will be clear to you that these eyes, in fact, to see a thing is a miracle. You just see him walking and following me just now. You see eyes? It's pointing lights. Are you seeing light? Are you seeing any black of the eye there? Why? How did this kind of thing happen? Where did it happen from? I think we can proceed now. I thought you would show him when he was following us. How did it happen? Look at what Evangelist Jonathan is saying now. He's following me. What is the root of this kind of thing? You go to Kaduna, you see the twin girls, born the same day, identical twins, deaf and dumb. Both heard and spoke. See them. Born deaf and dumb. What is the root of this? What is the root of this kind of thing? All right, let's proceed. Let's proceed because of time. You're talking about the alcoholic man, that 35 years addict. Maraba Crusade, when we're dedicating the church, he passed by the road, drunkard for 35 years, coming from the drunkenness joint. He says something pulled him into the meeting. He stepped into the meeting. Bam! Alcoholic devil left him. He brought himself to the altar. He brought himself to the altar. He brought himself to the altar. And said, I've been drinking for 35 years. I've been helpless. But this thing has broken. What is the root of such kind of result? Addicts of marijuana, addicts of crack, addicts of masturbation, pornography, delivered in an instant. What is it? Massive stadium, packed field of crowds all around the world. Extensive overflowing congregations all around the world. With massive structural and infrastructural developments. See some of the churches on the screen. What could be the root of all this? You are talking about the submission of territorial, regional, or national leaders, whether they be mayors or they be governors or they be presidents of nations, sitting down together to listen and be discipled. You are talking about societally impacting things that happen everywhere. What could be this? See, there are things don't happen. They are showing you various locations connected right now. Things don't happen by chance. They happen by calculated incidences. Now, let us have a look at some of the crusades. I think we have this. Is this Zambia that you have on the screen? I'm not sure I had the time to watch this. All right, let's go. That was Zambia. Zambia, a witch was flying from one country to another. Came across a crusade ground and dropped. A wizard, that's the Zambian vice president, attended a meeting, leadership session in the morning. You can move over. Cameroon. That was Douala, Cameroon. People were healed in their homes. Stood up from crutches. Dropped crutches. Sent videos of themselves. Healed at home. You want to move to Malawi? The Assemblies of God. Go on ahead and show the meetings. Malawi Crusade, healings, miracles, signs, and wonder. We are back in Malawi this year. Move on. Jalingo Crusade. All over the world, the Spirit of the Lord is moving. The earth being filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. Jalingo Crusade. Incredible manifestations of God. Move on to Kaduna. Kaduna Crusade. Move on to Makurdi. Altar call. Move on to Makurdi. From Makurdi, move on to Port Harcourt. This year or last year. We have FCT wide crusades in Nyanya Crusade here. I hope I'm not too fast. Here people were hanging on the bridge. Hanging across the road. Nyanya here. Otuko Crusade. The Bible said a prophet is not received in his homeland. But this is an exception. Hey! Hey! Give Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, a big clap and a louder shout of praise. With your crusade, Reverend Ntia, you were there. You are Akwa Ibom State. Lord Koja Crusade. Are you ready for this one? Kanu Crusade. See the line? Togedin. A lot of children, blind children, deaf children, all manner were healed. Cripples healed in their numbers. Right? We have other clips here. We have a Shiloh clip. And then we have... that's Shiloh ministration right there. And then... we have Canada, we have Leeds. I think some of the Canada people are here. The mayor of Leeds was in this meeting. That's the mayor. Number 120-something mayor. Shows it off. May you ask for prayer. Leeds Crusade, Leeds in the United Kingdom. Show us Houston, Texas, briefly. Go ahead, give the Lord the praise. Mayor sent his representative to Houston, Texas. Outreach. And then we have Maurice Cerullo in the Glory Dome. And then we have Israel. This is ministry in Israel. It's a long time. Over 80 nations were there. En Gedi. In the desert. Deaf ears, all opened. We had other societally impacting things. We had the dedicated our church in Kano and decided, Kano, your Kano, Evangelist Oguche, we dedicated our church in Kano and decided to construct the road that connects the church also to serve the community. The MES representative was there and others. Can you show us the clip? Kano. You have it? Oh, sorry, Karu. Sorry, Karu. Let's start with Karu. Boundary Road. The church paved this road for this community. Community leaders were there. The king of the land was there. All right, let's see the road. of the road is sighted. Alright, this is another road constructed, another place, boundary road. Done by the church for the community. Show us Christmas welfare distribution. This is food distribution for Christmas. Who is this? Who is it that can do all of this? Can you stand up on your feet and let us give the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the I Am that I Am, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Jehovah Rapha Kamekadesh. We worship you, we honor you, we adore you, we magnify you, we glorify you. Thank you, Father, for the inspiration of this result. It's only you. We honor you. We adore you. We magnify you. We glorify you. Thank you and thank you and thank you again. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a praise and take your seat. I want to take us on a little journey of our origin, our root. What could be the reason for this? I think that my journey started with my mother. My mother experienced and encountered Jesus about the year of 1958, where he saw Jesus on the cross. And Jesus asked him, just hold to the helm of my garment and it's enough for you. That was the encounter that transformed her life. My mother had delays in bringing forth children. When eventually that delay was broken, she began to give birth. First one was female, second one was female, third one was female. And it was such an issue in the setting that she was if you couldn't bring forth a male child. And so she adopted a name, baptism name or Christian name of Hannah. That, Lord, visit me like Hannah. And the visitation happened. The first male came, and the second male came, and the third male came. I happened to be the second. So she took her spirit. Now the stories I'm telling you are things that I want us to learn a lot from deeply. She took her spirituality so serious that she woke her children up every 5 a.m. Led us in devotion, 5 to 6. Whatever, you can't be too sleepy for it. She wasn't educated as it were, but whatever they taught her in church, she broke it down to us at home. That was how she groomed us in prayers, in impartations, until I was age 9. And then went to the Methodist Church Reverend and told him I had a special number with my mother, age 9. And my junior brother and the two of us, and I don't know what happened, but the man allowed us to sing the special number. I don't know what we sang that day. I don't know. I can't remember the song. But the people clapped. They say, what? Powerful children, anointed children. And then we proceeded on. Around that time, there was a breakout of revival in the town we were. Otupo Town in Benue State. Revival was in 1978, 1979, and 1980 going forward. There are some people in that revival who are here.
Dr. Miss Saloma, I mean, Evangelist Saloma, who is my senior sister and also my junior sister. And then we have a set of twins, her junior sister, yeah. We have a set of twins, Onyanta and Ejuma also, who were in that revival. Did you come in tonight? Yes, look at them, identical twins. Do you still remember them? Capture them. They were right there in 1978, 79, 80. They are full members of Dunamis currently. God bless you. Please sit down. Do you recognize them, Sister Patricia? I'm sure you do. So that happened, and there was so much fire in that revival. Yes, we had evangelist Sylvester Odufu, who is with the Lord now. We have Bishop Sunday Igoche, who were coordinating what they call the Christian Fellowship Center. And then after that, we had Brother Victor Oboy, who became the anchor of what we were doing. He knows Victor Oboy very well. Victor Oboy's mother passed not too long ago. And then God gave us the privilege to minister to her before she passed. And Brother Victor Oboy, I'll come to that shortly. And so this fire was burning. In the middle of that fire, I took a 3-day fast for the first time on empty stomach at the age of 11. I think they were still in that same fasting as well. 11, 3 days dry only. And in those days when you fasted, you broke the fast exactly at 12 midnight on the last day. That was what happened. On the last day, the fast was broken, but it was intense. Reverend Francis Abuka was in that fast. Bishop now, Abuka was in that program. Along with others, it was very, very intense. That for me was my initiation, if you will call it, into the realms of power and experience with God. Once that passed, shortly after that, in the same year of 1979, Pastor E.A. Adeboye came to Otuko in government secondary school. He had come in 1978 and also came in 1979 to Otuko. Held a crusade. In that meeting in government secondary school, before he could open the scripture to start preaching, the Holy Ghost fell everywhere. And people were, it was an explosion. I was in that meeting. And that meeting was a drastic turning point. As a matter of fact, I went to one of the young men that came with him, and I had some discussions with him, and he encouraged and was talking to me about how to remain focused, how to remain on fire, how to study the word. That was 1978. Between 1978, 79, 80, we had gone with Brother Victor to villages on evangelism. We are talking about age 11, thereabout. We have gone to villages for evangelism. Are you following what I'm saying here? So I want us to understand a journey. And done all of that. And then, young men, Brother Joe Ogbe, Joe Jesmel, Young Disciples Ministry in Lagos, he was also a product of that meeting. He was in the 3-day fast in Wesley High School. That continued the journey. My encounter with Pastor E.A. Adeboye was 45 years ago. 4-5. After a season of some slight slackness spiritually, in the year of 1986, I rededicated my life to Christ in Deeper Life Campus Fellowship. I had an encounter overnight, and Deeper Life Campus Fellowship and Kumu is 38 years. I had an encounter overnight. It lasted from about 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. I won't go into detail because I see time is racing. The outcome of that encounter was my life completely handed over to God. And Lord, I am ready to do whatever you want. I went to the campus fellowship. Nobody was there. I cleaned out the chairs. Nobody told me.
and then came and stood at the door and began to welcome people to the fellowship. I'm sure they were wondering, where did this new usher come from? What branch? I was from no branch. The zeal of God had consumed me. It was a driving force. I cleaned out the chair. Welcome to the people. In Deeper Life Campus Fellowship, we went all the way to Ayobo IBTC in Lagos for Deeper Life Campus Fellowship conferences. It was a forming moment. After a while, after doing that emergency ushering work, and then all of that, I joined the Deeper Life Choir. Deeper Life Choir director is now a pastor, and he's in Benue City. We met Brother Almoro last time, and my pastor in Deeper Life then, Pastor Chris Obaji Makodi, was here for the dedication of the Glory Dome. Hallelujah. Now, that journey went until I stepped into the campus. Now, the first campus was an A-level. And now this was the full-fledged finish going for the university medicine. And as I stepped into the campus. Now, let me say something before stepping into the campus. Because I want this journey to be understood by you, because there are lessons to learn. After that A-level, I didn't get immediate admission. I had points that, I mean, I had more than cutoff points for medicine. So I had 1 year at home. That 1 year could be called my Bible school. Within that 1 year, there were days of 7 hours in tongues. Average. Within that 1 year, 7 days, no food, only water. And within that season, 7 hours of tonguing. We had a fellowship called the Ojira Fellowship, where iron sharpened iron. Is Bishop Imai Jachi here today, tonight? He was in that fellowship. Bishop, you are sitting all the way there. Please come forward and let's create a seat. Where somebody shared, another shared, it was like bomb dropping. Young men on fire, on fire, on fire. By the time I stepped in, I'd like you to listen to this. By the time I stepped into the university, I arrived like a flame. I was studying medicine, but every morning, before class started by 8 a.m., I would pray between 1 hour to 3 hours. Before, let me say something again. In that 1986, 87, we are already casting out devils. Already. So I entered into the university aflame. I will pray between 1 hour to 3 hours every morning. Sorry, I didn't plan to embarrass you, but you're welcome. We were doing rural evangelism. Huh? You remember how we climbed motorcycle?
Attack my mother.
We climb motorcycle to interior villages at Tapa and Moda, evangelizing ruggedly. You see, there are people who are in ministry today who have never done anything rural. They just want the glamour and the pulpit and the elegance, and I have seen me, big man of God. At Tapa and Moda, motorcycle back. You come into some communities, the whole place is tied down with darkness. Demonic possession and oppression everywhere. And mother, if you remember. Take your seat. So, when I was in the full-fledged university, I was already aflame. Praying 1 to 3 hours every day. Then went to class by 8. By 12 o'clock, I had burden for prayer again. After that is the break between 12 hours. In medical school. You are a medical doctor. You know what I'm talking about. Who does that in medical school? 1 hour to 3 hours pray in the morning. Another 1 hour in the afternoon. You have to go and read. When the body got too much, I went behind the physiology laboratory. And then I'll be praying right there for using that 1 hour before the next class by one. While I was in that praying at the back, I met a young man who was also praying quietly. Then as I prayed a little, I will share a little scripture with him. He exploded. I shared a little. He exploded. Brother Boniface Ochai is a medical doctor in Australia right now. So he told me, who are you and where are you from? I told him, I'm in 200 level. He said, really? What you are sharing with me, can you come and share in the general fellowship? He was the president of the Nigerian Conference of Christian Medical and Dental Students, our branch, NCCMDS. So he brought me to the fellowship. He said, please, we have a brother here who wants to share something with us. By the time I finished sharing, Sister Becky was there. With her thick glasses. Glasses was like Coca-Cola bottle. I was the one who removed it. I removed the glasses. They don't block your eyes like that. The glasses were so thick, she only removed it in the bathroom. That she can't go to the bathroom without it. With one prayer. So when I finished ministering to them, medical students, I stood on the altar. Everybody was on the floor. Receive on the floor. And I'm sure you know why we reduce that hand a bit. Let me tell you the story. In Area 1 church, we say receive. By the time service is over, 30 plastic chairs are broken. And that was what we had, plastic chairs. Another service, 50 plastic chairs. Pastor said, this is not economical. Let people begin to receive without breaking chairs. It was a deliberate thing. I just withdrew from receive. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, in that meeting, they were all on the floor. Fire! Is Dr. Odumu here? Maybe he's serving in the medical stand. He's a senior chief consultant, family physician. Very, very vast. They were in that meeting, and everybody was on the floor. You know the question they asked themselves? Where did this guest minister come from? What is the name of his ministry? She was one of those who asked. And so they said, no, he's here on campus. 200 level. 200. What you see today is not chance occurrence. It's not chance occurrence at all. There is a major matter I forgot. When my mother was pregnant for me for 6 weeks, the pregnancy got lost. She thought it was. She bled until they said the pregnancy was gone. And she returned back home and the pregnancy refused to go. It remained. When that pregnancy was 7 months, she had a revelation in the night where somebody brought a basin with plenty bottles of oil and told her, the child that is to be born, this oil is for his head. One bottle of oil would have been enough, but plenty bottles inside the basin. So when you see the apostolic and see the prophetic and see the evangelistic and see the pastoral and see the teaching and then see the songs and see the writing and see the things and the third, I believe that is a representative of different bottles. Different different bottles. She doesn't know the kind. Just plenty. Bottle. Inside the basin. This bottle. Bottles of oil. They are for the head of the child that shall be born. When I was born, and I was like age 4, I told her the name to call me. I said, call me leader. In a language that is not common. That is a word that is not a common use. How did you get to that one? There are many things we can say there. So while I am not saying these things to create any impression on you, other than to give you some insight. And then my ministry in the university continued. Whether it was during ward rounds, cancer is healed, tumor is disappearing, breast lump is disappearing, medical student, ward round. Yes. During ward round, when I met a primary school classmate who had end stage kidney disease, he was in the ward. The moment I walked close to him, I recognized and said, what is happening here? His hair was like chicken feather, his tummy bloated, his skin was flaky. At that time, what they called dialysis was not common in the country. He was meant to do a kidney transplant, which was impossible. So he was literally waiting for death. He said when he saw me, something jumped into him. Medical student. At this time, it was like 500 level. I prayed for him, anointed with oil. He was discharged in 7 days. Back to his feet, kidney normal. Please take your seat. Along that course, I came across Maurice Cerullo's book titled Proof Producers, where he explained Acts chapter 1 verse 8, which is the anchor of our ministry today. That Acts chapter 1 verse 8 fastened upon my heart, and I'll come to that later. Is anybody bored with what I'm saying? And so, I was now still a student, but I had invitations. I was ministering. I was in your ministry in Makurdi, right? I was in the ministry that you were. This was, alright, okay, this was a bit later now. Around what year was that?
1993.
Alright, so what? Okay, I was out at that time.
They announced that you were coming, and the whole thing looked like it. I was looking around, it looked like it was Christmas they were celebrating. You're coming. Then in Makurdi again, the same thing. You're coming. Anytime your coming was announced, it was like a Christmas coming.
This is 91, 92, 93. I was a guest of a Methodist church in Jos, Gentamakery, on top of the hill. The Methodist Reverend was to attend the minister's conference here. You see here? Yes, okay, yes. Yes, please come, Reverend. Happy to see you, Reverend. So, you are, what's your full name?
The Reverend Daniel Oku.
Where are you now?
I'm now in Theological College, Zonkwa.
Zonkwa, Methodist Theological College.
Methodist Theological College, Zonkwa. But I knew you since 1991. I always invite you to our revival. In the revival program, many came from different places. When you open your mouth to preach, people will fall under anointing. But there was something that we experienced that we never experienced before. That was baptism of the Holy Ghost.
In Methodist Church, 1991.
It was very strange to us. But you introduced that to our members. And from there, we start having members from Bukuru, from Nasarawa Gom, from Rukuba and other places. And through that, we have 4 solid churches now established there.
From there. Hallelujah. Please. Methodist Theological Seminary. Those invitations were there. And then got introduced to my father in the Lord, Papa Yedepo's ministry. That one came, let's say, about over 30 years ago. Began to listen to his tape, unveiling the realities of the supernatural realm. Having listened to him for a while, I saw him in a vision of the night. He poured oil on my head. In the last quarter of 1994, he poured oil on my head. That oil was the seal of ministerial fire. The fire had been there. Ministry had been on. But it was the seal of ministerial fire that exploded us into dimensions that became beyond our imagination. When I was graduating, in our yearbook, I wrote something. Everybody was to write a comment. And my own comment was, Father, I thank you for helping me to combine the rigors of medical training with tangible kingdom ministry. I said, for as it were, I was a part-time student and a full-time minister. Yearbook. My sister was always afraid. She thought one day I would run out of the university. She said the letters I wrote to her from school, anytime I wrote her a letter, it was an epistle. He said it was as if she was reading 1 Corinthians. Another epistle.
Yeah. She's asking you whether you are in a Bible school or in a medical school.
She asked me so. Are you in a Bible school or you are in... In fact, my roommate, when I was in 200 level, he was in 300 level. He asked the same question verbatim. Are you in Bible school or you are in medical school? Because he was seeing me praying 1 to 3 hours in the morning. Are you in Bible school or in medical school? I told him both. That guy couldn't finish Bible school. He was withdrawn. Medical school. While we continued, I made all of them pray. We'll fast for 3 days. No water remain in the same spot. The same kind of 7 hours non-stop. I made them do it. In the university. Until your anterior abdominal wall was paining you. If the abdomen doesn't pain you, you have not prayed yet. Hallelujah. I see a fire of commitment coming upon somebody here. If you are the one, you shout the loudest amen. If you are the one, you shout the loudest amen. If you are the one, you shout the loudest amen. Along the line, I came across some people. Along the line. And I'll preach before this conference is over. There are a people God should never allow your path to cross. A people you must never meet. Because they neither belong to your past, your present, or your future. They can't accommodate anything about you. They don't belong. I met these people. Relationship in the first place was an error. These were people who had no discipline of an official university education. None. Zero. The best was halfway educated. Mid-level.
rest secondary school, drop out. So the discipline of life, how you face life with discipline, zero. Where there was zero financial discipline, no difference between church money or God's money. Where pastor's wife can go straight from the with offering money in the market to buy things. Since this ministry started, the checkbook of this church has never been in my possession once. Can never be. I never believed that church money belonged to the pastor. And any pastor here who is eating the church money or taking the tithes, you need to repent. Then zero marital family life. Zero. Where you can have pastor's wife shouting on husband. In front of everybody. Question is, what is this? Mindset different. Lifestyle different. Focus different. Principles of life different. Every single thing different. On your marks, get set, move. When I begin to draw the lessons at the end, there are things you must never manage any association. Even for 2 days, if you notice that principles are different. If you notice principles are different, take your seat. And here, I met Papa Yedepo physically, like I said. He anointed my head with oil. And then, when ministry was 6 months, we're just building from the scratch. He passed to Abuja. 6 months. He passed there. I asked him to anoint the ground. Sir, we are building. He poured oil on the ground and said, building, grow. Within 7 weeks, we were under the roof. May God connect you with oil that produces results with speed. May God connect you with oil that produces results with speed. If you are saying amen, say loud amen. He poured the oil on the ground. Building grew. Roof came. And our relationship continued. Please take your seat. By 1998, our ministry was only 2 years old when he appointed me a member of the board of ministers on his board. Charismatic Bible Faith Ministries. CBFM, you know it. You were there. I was there with Pastor David Ibiomi. We were all on the same board. He appointed us at the same time. 2 years. At times I begin to wonder, what did this man see in my life at such an age of ministry? In that same year, we broke the ground for Faith Tabernacle. Under 1 year, Faith Tabernacle was built. We were there in 1999 to declare the 50,000 seat auditorium. 1999 to dedicate it. I drove round with him. Look at it right there. I drove round with him in the foundation. Drove round with him in the construction. Drove round when the building wasn't roofed yet. So it was clear to me that this was achievable. What you see determines what you can dare. I saw the process. And then 1998 came. 1999, first Shiloh. There have been 25 Shilohs this year. I have not missed one. I want you to understand something about followership. I have not missed one. Every schedule is scheduled away from it. In that 1998, he had a ministers' conference and he invited a couple of people. In that ministers' conference, I met a man, Archbishop
Bishop Charles Arjuna Sari is now Archbishop. And he preached with fire and gave a very, very rugged testimony. How he went to India and so on and so forth. And, no, deep, call it unto the deep. He was talking supernatural. And supernatural is my passion. So I drew close. When I watched his ministration the first time, it didn't take time for healings to happen. Without a doubt, there was a sharpening. He made me to minister in his, he invited me in 1999 to minister in Tamale in northern Ghana. And then I have ministered in only 5 churches in the world on a Sunday morning. His own is one of it. On a Sunday morning. There's nothing you can do for me to minister on a Sunday morning. I am mentioning it so you can know that there are relationships that are profitable as against those that are complete are useless. I will come to him later when I talk about Maurice Cerullo. Because when Dr. Maurice Cerullo came to Ghana, he said, Pastor Paul, I'd like you to meet Maurice Cerullo. So for the first time, he made myself and Maurice Cerullo to meet. Alright, so, and then shortly after that, my father in the Lord appointed me. This will be almost 20 years now, as a member of the board of regents of the Covenant University. University board. 25 years now. Member of the board of regents, the first and second. Right. And it was first and second boards. It was such an experience. Such an experience. When we are to go for board meetings, I will research, read around Harvard. Read around Cambridge, read around Oxford, read around all the universities. What made them big? So that when they are asking people to speak, I won't be just watching. That was the path that I took with our Father and the Lord. Before this conference started, we were together on Monday where he prayed for the conference. It's a relationship of consistency. For over 31 years. It will interest you to know that he has 4 children, all married. I officiated in all 4 weddings. Some I preached, some I joined. Let me move from there. I have 2 more and then we draw the curtain. Let me talk about my encounter with Reinhard Bonnke. So you have heard of Pastor Iyi Adeboye, you have heard of Kumuyi. And as I'm talking, I believe that power will be dropping on people. You have heard of Papa Yedepo. Papa Yedepo came for my daughter's wedding. That one is a constant. He came for my daughter's wedding. Visited me when my mother passed. Personally. Now, Reinhard Bonnke. Reinhard Bonnke was coming to Makurdi for crusade. My sister here was the protocol committee chairperson for that crusade. And she said to me, Reinhard Bonnke will be coming and landing in Abuja. Can you help me pick him from the airport? I said, help. I should be thanking you for giving me such a privilege. So I organized protocol. We picked Bonnke from the airport, and then he's to pass one night in Abuja before going to Makurdi. I received him from the airport, straight to Sheraton Hotel where we booked for him. He lodged overnight. The next day, when he was going to go to Makurdi, I was meant to go with them, but I decided not to go.
I gave him an offering in foreign currency, in dollars, and then gave him a wristwatch. My mentality was, this man is on time. I want to be on time. And I said, pray for me, sir. I knelt down. He laid his hands on me. And he said, Father, whatever you felt on the cross of Calvary, before you sent your son Jesus to die, give him a portion of it. Jesus, what you felt on the cross while you were dying for the world, how your heart was, give him a little of that heart. Before then, I had experienced some manifestations, but there were dimensions of manifestations I was not seeing, no matter how hard I prayed or fasted. So he laid hands on me. Power. And when they went out to go, I told the hotel, the room service, what do you call them? Porters. Housekeeping. I told housekeeping, don't change the bedspread. Don't go to the room. Don't clean anything. Just leave it the way it is. I dived into that bed where he lay. I was in tongues for the next 10 to 11 hours, nonstop. Shaka pakata kolaka paradas. Shaka kaka pakata kalakatash. Jakoko pakara. Father, whatever grace laid on this bed, whatever grace laid on this bed, overnight, I connect. Whatever grace. As I prayed almost 12 hours, I became dizzy, like I was falling asleep. In between that junction of sleep and awake, I had a very drastic miracle encounter. An encounter that was clear that there was a transmission of a miraculous dimension of the supernatural. I saw raw like a creative miracle. Then I got up, slept back, continued the prayer. By the time it was daybreak, and I knew I had received what I wanted, I followed them to Makurdi, joined them in the crusade. And then, our relationship continued. Whenever Bunky was coming, he knows, I will wait for him at the airport, receive him. So anytime we go to Ghana today, and John Dako is in Ghana, he will wait for us at the airport till tomorrow. I said, why? He said, when Bunky was alive, you always came to receive us at the airport. I now have to receive you. Bunky was in Abuja Crusade. I was the prayer committee chairman. They said all the committees should bring their budget. I said, budget for what? Budget to pray. Pastor Abba was with me in that committee. I said, do you people want budget? Do you need money for the prayer? They said, no. Because they can't look at my eyes and say yes. And he will not say yes because we are together. No way. Anything you need, I will provide it from my pocket. I will give you the drinks. We don't need a dime from Bunky. I will give you, provide everything. Which we did. On the crusade ground, in Abuja Crusade, Bunky went to the altar to preach, brought out his hand and showed me. So what is this? He said, see the watch you gave me. He was wearing the watch. Of all the watches in the world. During the Glory Dome dedication, he told him, he wants to come. We were looking for plane to fly him. Sometime back, I say, I wish it was today. Two planes can go at once. And then when Bunky was about to pass, he met him. Please tell us what he said. Your experience with him. Is this story doing anything to you?
We were in America for our conference, director's conference. And at the end of it, he sent a message to us that he would like to meet myself and my wife in his house. So we drove 3 hours to Palm Beach. That was where he was staying. went up, we met him, and we had quite a lot of prayer and singing. It was wonderful. But he said we should have a meal. So whilst we sat at the table, he showed me a watch on his hand and asked me, "John, do you remember the one who gave me this watch?" I said, "Pastor Bonke, we have so many pastors in Africa. How can I remember who gave you this watch?" I said, "Oh, you've forgotten. This is from Pastor Paul. This was..." Yeah, it's a good point to give up. Put your hands together for Jesus. So this was given to him by Pastor Paul in Abuja. And I remember that incident. Then everything, I recollected everything. And then he said, when I go back to Africa, I should tell Pastor Paul, if you will not meet again here, you will meet him in heaven. That's it.
That was Bonke. His last crusade in Africa was in Lagos. We flew all the way to meet him. Met him in the little Port Harcourt. "Pastor Paul, are you well? How is the place? How is everything? How is the ministry?" Put something in his hands. He says, "Receive." So when you see crusades today, he saw the crusade. He said, "This looks like a Bonke crusade." It didn't happen by chance. Let me end with Dr. Maurice Cerullo. I have told you already how myself and Dr. Maurice Cerullo met. After that meeting, he just held me like this. Paul. Invited me as his minister to minister in mission to London. He went to Semarang, Indonesia. He asked me to come. I ministered massively in Indonesia. Then one day, when the Lord's garden posh land was already gotten, he flew down, not to preach, not to do anything. Dr. Maurice Cerullo flew down. I took him round. And then he looked at me and said, "Paul, God sent me not to the church, not to anybody. He sent me to you. He said, I should tell you that the word is in your mouth. Say it." He sent me to you. He said, "I want to pray a prayer for you, and it's going to be a gift. It is a prayer for supernatural eyesight." He said, "It is discernment of spirit, supernatural eyesight." He prayed. You see, it's not possible to have an encounter you are not aware. Association does not equal as transmission. You can't have an encounter and not aware. That was the first major time. The second major time, he had come, he came for the Glory Dome dedication, and then he came again. And he was passing by and he passed on this altar. You know what he told me? If I remember that thing, I want to cry. He said, "Paul, before Elijah passed, he asked Elisha, 'What do you want?' I am asking you now, 'What do you want?'" And he started crying. Sorry. Before Elijah passed, he asked Elijah, "What do you want?" "Paul, I'm asking you, what do you want?" He began to cry and saw. He's kissing me on the cheek. He does that all the time. Kiss on the cheek, two cheeks, on the forehead. This is dedication. This is not that clip. The real clip is still, I'm sure they can get that. If you go on YouTube, you'll find it.
And then he laid hands on me and my wife. Here. With such a transmission that makes me aware that there is no country I step into that can't open. Him and Lester Sumrall, they have an anointing that somebody called the bull anointing. Thou anointest me with fresh oil. My horn is exhausted. Like it's like a lion that carries horn. That is breaking open hard grounds. And he dropped what he carried. Next thing I heard, he was gone. The next news is Maurice Arelo was gone. He had passed. We prayed back and forth on the phone. Talked with his wife on the phone. Before the passing. Beloved brothers and sisters. Whenever you see anything that is significant and big, try to find out where is this thing coming from. Do I have the time for any lessons tonight? Let me give you 7 lessons from all of this. Please take your seat and then I'll round off now. Number one. From all of this, I know that it's a midweek service and time is gone, but also no, that's what he's doing. He's crying there right now and asking, what do you want? In the name of Jesus. Who can check it out on the YouTube later. Let's take 7 lessons very fast. Number one. Parents should watch and nurture the graces. The graces and giftings of God in their children. Watch and nurture them. My mother saw the oil. And she determined, not just me, but all the children, to raise them with devotion. My mother's room, I can confidently say that almost everybody is a minister in one way or the other. Everybody. We were praying in my father's parlor, I think that was 1986. My sister there, sister, right there. We were praying there. And my sister said, my sister saw an angel, brought an oil. Said, I could have given you this oil, but you are a woman. You won't be able to carry the responsibilities that this oil comes with. That this oil carries. It will be too heavy for you. And he told us, she's standing there. And he pointed at me and said, see him, drop it on his head. So she held her hand like that, like a cup, and brought it and put it on my head. I fell until my head hit until I was convinced that it broke. I have never fallen like that. It hit the ground. When I got up, I had to check if there was blood. It was heavy. It was heavy. I can't recover. I'm sure that was one of those oils that mama saw in those basins. It landed on my head. Nurture children. Don't leave children to themselves. Watch them. Nurture the graces. Proverbs 22:7 said, train a child in the way he should go. And when he is grown, he shall not depart. Number two. Children can be introduced early in life to spiritual exercises that will help their future. Spiritual exercises. I fasted for 3 days, no food at the age of 11. And so we made it a rule in our house. When any child reaches 10, you will do a 3-day fast. My wife talked about it in the morning. All right, you will do a 3-day fast. One of the children after the first 3 day fast, he did so many, just as frequent as water.
Actually did the first one before the 10 years.
He did the first one before the 10 years. So, the spiritual exercises. Don't think they are too small. Nurture them with the right spiritual exercises. Number three. Make your waiting time to become preparation time. Anytime it looks like your life is on hold. Anytime it looks like things are not happening the way they should. Make such a time for spiritual investments. Make your waiting time to be preparation time. Where there is no preparation time. That was what I did with 7 hours praying while I was waiting to get to the next level of my schooling. 7 hours tonguing. In 1 Corinthians 15 and in verse 58, he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Make waiting time. A time came when I was asking the Lord, what is the aim of all these revelations I've seen out of the scripture? I had nowhere to preach. He said it's not, it's just installation for the future. It's a wiring against tomorrow. Make waiting time. Number five, is it number four now? Number four, don't look for the title to bear. Look for the task to fulfill. Don't be a title carrier. Don't look for the title to bear. Look for the task to fulfill. Serve God at every given opportunity. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 10 said, so whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with your might. Don't struggle to, I am a past prophet, this apostle. Don't forget about that. Go into rural evangelism like what my brother just said now. Villages. Don't look for title. Look for task to fulfill. Serve God at every given and slight opportunity. Number five. Identify liability relationships and disconnect as fast as you can. Liability relationships. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Identify liability relationships and disconnect as fast as you can. Don't manage any relationship to damage your destiny. As fast. One of the prayers that you must pray. Lord, may I never meet the person I should never meet. May I never meet the person or persons I should never meet. Identify liability relationships and disconnect as fast as you can. Number six. Identify profitable relationships and sustain them. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Walk with the wise, sustain them. And I want to add something to this. Don't let anybody talk you away from the right relationship. If it is especially fatherhood relationship. Look at that man. He said he has been coming here for 13 years. I mean, since 2013. We haven't seen one-on-one, but that did not stop him. But he sent a text and the call came on the spot. Not up to a minute. If I was to listen to people, I would have been talked out of my relationship with my father in the Lord since. I would have been talked out of it since. I would have been talked out of it since. Identify profitable relationships, sustain them, keep them, maintain them, identify them, sustain them, keep them, maintain them. And number seven, serve
every higher unction that God gives you the opportunity to encounter. Serve. I served Bonke to the extent I could. In my father and the Lord's board of trustees, I served to the best of my knowledge for as long as I was there. They gave sitting allowance. And one day, and I said to myself, so you mean I should come here and collect sitting allowance? Collect allowance? No, I'm the one to pay for being given the opportunity. Serve every higher unction. Elisha poured water on the hand. I think that is 2 Kings chapter 3 verse 13 or 14 or something. Here is Elisha that poured water. Please locate that scripture. He poured water. 11. He poured water on the hands of Elijah. And as he did that, the unction of Elisha came upon him. In conclusion tonight, if I'm going to ask you a question, who is the only one that can take the glory for what is happening here? Who raised us? Who processed us? He connected us with deep roots. That the Gio that I met 45 years ago, or Papa Kumui 38 years ago, or that the Oyedepo over 30 years ago, or Ryan Bunkley, or Maurice Cerullo, or myself, we can never point to any of these people as the reason for success in this place, or the reason for the acts of God here, or for the move of God. It's impossible. None of them, the spirituality they have, and the mentality of the kingdom they have, can never allow any one of the people I just mentioned to claim, if it is not me, Evangelist Jonathan's father is a pastor. I encountered Evangelist Jonathan briefly, and some things drastically turned. Zenzo's father is a bishop who just testified. It would be stupidity taken to the highest level to say that if not me, they won't succeed. That is even when there is a profitable deposit. Anyone who sees something like this that only God can do, that tries to take it to themselves, including this pastor, is a victim of megalomania. Delusions of grandeur. The type where a villager comes out and says, I'm now the president of the country. Luciferic emptiness and haughtiness. No! What did you say?
You're correct.
I met Unti over 20 something years ago. His life and ministry took a different turn, but he wasn't here before we met. I'm talking of profitable impact. Beloved, anybody, including you, who tries to take the glory of God is the person who has positioned himself for destruction. Positioned for destruction. Stand up on your feet. Huh? What only God can do, a man says he can do it. So, man, get it done in the next 10 years. Try it. So it can be confirmed. It's a new season. If there is anything you have picked out of what you have heard, lift up your hands and appreciate God. Lift up your hands. Lift up your voice. Lift up your hands. Lift up your voice. Lift up your hands. Lift up your voice. Appreciate Him. Honor Him. Adore Him. Father, we worship You. Father, we honor You. Father, we magnify You. Likeke pabaya da gagalala harasi. Lete seke frete si da gagalala da hazara. Lift your hands and worship Him. Honor Him. Adore Him. Magnify Him. Glorify Him. Lete seke keke bagadagalala. Lete sata kakadagalala. Sata kalala. Lete seke perete seke kukukada. Sata kabaya da gagalosadi. Lete perete seke kalagada harakasa. Lete seke perete seke kalagada. Father, we give You the praise. Father, we give You the honor. Father, we give You the adoration. Blessed be Your name. La da ya da ya da ya da da ya da da la 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 da ya da da la ba da ba da ba da ba da ba da la da ya da da ya da da la do sorry la da la let the secret precious sin da la 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 horaso let the secret precious sin da la 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 harada let the secret precious sin da la la haradi. Father, we give You the praise. Father, we give You the honor. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and we pray one prayer because of time. Tomorrow night, Bishop Abioye will be coming. Inform your friends and loved ones. And Pastor Ibiomi also will be ministering tomorrow. Inform your friends, inform your loved ones. Lift up your two hands everywhere you are. We have the communion to still take. You are going to lift your voice and say, Father,
Father,
the strength. Please, two more prayers, just this one and then another. Say, Father,
Father,
the strength
I need
for tomorrow.
The strength
I need
for the future.
The strength
I need
for tomorrow.
I receive
now. Open your mouth and pray. The strength I need for tomorrow. The strength I need for the future. Lift your voice, Shiva Daya Hadari. Let us set a ferry to Sadagala Harari. Let us set a ferry to Sadagala Haragaza. Laraka set a ferry to Sadagayagaruna. Laka set a ferry to Sadagayagaris. Lagaradia Lagarada Hosana. Let us ferry to Sidada. Ike Padalayadada. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lift your two hands and pray after me and say, Father.
Father.
Help me.
Never to meet.
The man
I should never meet.
Help me. Never to meet that person.
I should never meet.
I must never meet.
In life.
Help me, Lord.
Never to meet that person.
I must never meet.
In life.
Lift your voice and pray.
Hey, Tell me never to meet the best thing I should never meet in life, Lord. Tell me never to meet the best thing I should never meet in life, Lord. Tell me never to meet the best thing I should never meet in life, Lord. La ra te se te via la la hara. La ca se te pe te sirvi. Le ca sa ca la 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 hara. La ca sa ca ca la 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 hara. Help me never to meet the best thing I should never meet. Help me never to meet the best thing I should never meet in life, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, get the hands higher. What a night. While we are in this mood of prayer, please. While we are in this mood of prayer, anywhere you are, you want to hand over your life to Jesus, surrender your life to Jesus, rededicate your life to Jesus, you want today to mark a new day for you. Carry your Bibles, carry your bags, and quickly rush to the front here. You want today to mark a new day, a new season, fresh grace, fresh help, fresh mercy. Carry your Bible, carry your bags, and quickly rush to the front here. Remain standing, everybody. Remain standing, everybody. Remain standing, everybody. I need Jesus. God bless you. Run, 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 run. Maybe you want to rededicate. Maybe you want to surrender before we all receive an impartation of grace. Strength for the future. 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 Carry your Bibles. Carry your bags. And come forward here. Go on ahead. Give the Lord a clap as they come.
I wish my life working under on you.
On you,
on you,
on you,
on you.
What a good way,
what a good way
to be wasted, Lord. On you,
on you,
on you,
on you,
on you. What a good way,
what a good way
to be wasted, Lord. On you,
on you.
On you,
on you,
on you, on you,
on you.
What a good way to be wasted, Lord. On you,
on you,
on you. What a good way,
what a good way
to be wasted, Lord.
On you,
on you,
on you.
What a good way,
what a good way to be wasted, Lord.
On you,
on you.
Those of you in the front, place your hand on your chest and say after me, say, Father, I come before you today. I ask for forgiveness of my sins. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today, I go forward ever, backward never. Grace to live for you, I receive it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray for you today. I declare the hold of sin broken. I declare today a new day. I declare today a new season. Fresh help, fresh mercy,
and fresh grace be released upon you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Master, in Jesus' name.